Blog Talk Radio.
Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you and you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, he is an awesome God, and an awesome God indeed is he. And it is our pleasure and honor to be able to worship and magnify his glorious name. And on today, I want you to know that we have another wonderful lesson for you on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to be tremendously blessed. Yes, you will be blessed on today. Our lesson is going to be talking about justification by faith. We are finding that over in the book of Romans, chapter number 1, verses number 17, as well as Romans chapter 5, verses number 1 through verse number 10. If you just get your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home, we're going to get right into the lesson on today. And I know that it's going to revelate you and bring forth a divine word and a right now word and a show word unto you on today. Let us pray. Father, we come right now in the wonderful name of Jesus, thanking you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, recognizing you are the great I am, the lily in the valley, the bright and morning star. And God, we give you glory, we give you honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless, Lord, our hearers on today. We clear the airways and declare to be, Lord, conducive for you to speak forth a word of a miracle, a right now word, a rhema word unto your people, a prophetic word. And God, we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's look at justification by faith. And we're going to look at our focus verse on today. And that's going to be over in Romans chapter number 1, verse 17. It reads on this line, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter number 5, verses 1 through 10 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For it, when we were enemies, we are reconciled. We were reconciled to God by death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Oh, child of God, what a wonderful, wonderful scripture. Let's take a look further at our lesson on today. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 17 again. It says, for wherein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, one of the major contributions of the Protestant Reformation was the renewal emphasis on the doctrine of justification by faith. Now, this central element of the gospel have been covered by centuries of neglect and attempts to regulate and control the gift of God by human efforts. Now, people relied on their works to earn salvation, which compromised Christ's redemptive work on the cross of Calvary. When we look at Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Paul quoted from Habakkuk 2 and 4. The prophet Habakkuk wrote during a time when Israel was headed for judgment at the hand of the Babylonians. He questioned how long God's people will hold on during the coming turmoil. The Lord answered by saying that promises will come, and as well as the just shall live by their faith. God has chosen the respond of faith to be the means of justification in both the Old as well as the New Testament. All attempts to gain divine favor through our own righteousness and works are destined to fail. Now, the book of Romans describes justification as God's act of counting an individual right for just in his sight by that person's faith in God's redemptive sacrifice through Jesus Christ. The word justification is a legal term in which righteousness is imputed or credited to the person, rather than extending to the person on the basis of personal work. But justification is only one aspect of the experience of salvation. For example, that the salvation experience is called the new birth in John 3, verses 3 and 5. Now, the inner cleansing and the transforming of a person's life is expressed as justification would occur at the time of the new birth, as well as being a continual process throughout a child of God's life. And you'll see that over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 9 through 11. Let's further look at the mankind need for justification. Humanity's need for justification is rooted in God's nature. The righteous one will not ignore human sin. Since the fall, Adam's offspring have needed salvation to bring about a renewed position before God. Now, mankind was created to be in communion with God, but because of Adam's disobedience, sin entered into human race, and the relationship with God was broken. Separation from God. Now, human unrighteousness has caused separation from God. Paul listed in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10, was not an exhausted list of sinful behaviors that will bar a person from fellowshipping with God, nor was his list unique on his historical time period. From the fall, sin has separated all men and women from God. In Genesis 3 through 11, Moses recorded multiple accounts of human failure and God's merciful acts to restore the relationship in a limited fashion. Adam and Eve desired to determine what was good and evil for themselves rather than to place their trust in the Creator. Though they were removed from the garden, God talked with them and provided a means of covering for their nakedness in the next generation. Sin's inappropriate sacrifice and murder reveal mankind's alienation from his Creator. Genesis 4 points to this separation in anima, polygamy, and boasting. Ultimately, the Son of God and the daughters of men committed grievous sins that brought judgment upon the human life. And you'll see that over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, verses 3. The gulf between mankind and God became so great that God repented of his creative acts and laid plans to totally destroy the human race. But one man found grace in the eyes of God, who was Noah. Through the flood, death came upon mankind on an unimaginable scale. But after the waters receded, Noah and his family left the ark and offered sacrifices to God. Yet the flood was unable to destroy sin. Even in Noah's household, sin reared its ugly head as well. Let's look at separation from fellowship. The gulf caused by mankind willful rejection of God's sovereignty resulted in the broken fellowship. The direct opposite of God's original intent for those to whom he had given dominion over his creation. Broken fellowship soon destroyed the balance the purpose and righteous goal God had planned for mankind. The full measure of glory God intended for the individual was frustrated by their sinful behavior, leaving a broken fellowship between them and God and between one another. A snapshot of a broken fellowship and its results can be seen at the foot of Mount Sinai, following Israel's miraculous deliverance from slavery. Although Moses was selected to be the deliverer, God desired to communicate directly with the people. But in Exodus 20, the people refused to draw near to God's presence on the mountain. They feared being near the Holy One and was content for Moses to be the designated holy man for them. It should be no surprise that Israel fell into idolatry as well as sexual impurity while Moses was on his 40-day mission. Relationship with God was impossible due to sin, and freedom from sin was impossible without the relationship. Let's look at the sentence to death. Further, separation from God is the beginning of death. God warned Adam and Eve that the day that they ate the fruit of the tree, that they would die. And we find that over in Genesis 2 and 4, 17. Spiritual darkness and death fill Adam and Eve and their descendants. But God, in his mercy, gave them the law to point out the way to the people to begin their journey back to God. Mankind needed to know of his guilt of sin and to realize that God will provide a way, a restoration by atoning sacrifice of the Lamb of God on the cross. He gave them a prophetic hope for the day when the deliverer will come, their sin will be remitted, and their spiritual death will be turned into life. Now, let's further look at God's gift of justification. Without works, many people have attempted to earn their justification or right relationship with God through their own effort. However, such efforts are unsuccessful. We'll find that over in Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 8 through 9. Paul stated in Romans 4 and 2 that Abraham's justification was not according to his own works, or Abraham would have no reason to boast in, would have reason to boast in himself rather than boasting in God. Neither Abraham's circumcision nor his willingness to offer his son as a sacrifice was the cause for Abraham's justification. Now, these two acts were, however, faith responses to God, who honored Abraham's faith and continued and counted it to be for him as righteousness, and you'll find that over in Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 6. Now, the position of on faith and the works in Romans 4 and James 2 verses 1 through 26 are not contrary and contradictory, but complementary. No one can earn salvation by his work, no matter how good, how worthy, or how commendable they may be. Only through faith in God can we find God's righteousness that he imputed to us. At the same time, faith is expressed and revealed in behavior and obedience. James wrote that faith that failed to move us to obedience is no faith at all. The two passages speak of different points in Abraham's relationship with God. Romans tells that Abraham's justification was prior to circumcision and due to God's grace and Abraham's faith. Now, James, on the other hand, speaks of Abraham's faith as obedient to God, including good works. Now, further, we find that without cost, that it is a free gift. By the sin of one man, Adam, all humans, beings were destined to become sinners, and we'll find that over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 16 and verse 19. Death passed freely from one generation to the next, but Jesus came to reverse the curse of sin on humanity. Jesus came to offer the gift of righteousness made available by his obedience, obedience that went all the way to the cross, and you'll find that over in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 8. All humanity is bound by a sinful nature inherited through Adam's sin of disobedience. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God designed for us. But while we were sinners, Jesus came to die for our sins, redeeming us from sin and death and reconciling us to God. While we cannot justify ourselves, we can accept by faith Jesus' substitutionary and atoning death on the cross and be justified in the eyes of God. Justification came only through what Jesus did for us on the cross. It is God's gift to us, a gift that cannot be purchased, that cannot be earned, and it cannot be negotiated. God's righteousness is freely given when we believe on his name. Our own righteousness is inherently like filthy rags. That's what Isaiah 64 and 6 would let us know. Now, let's look further without condemnation. Now, just as the children are products of their parents by birth and child rearing, humans are also the result of the nature they follow. An individual who walk after the flesh will have traits and attributes of the fallen nature. By living after the flesh, an individual yields his life to his base and carnal nature in conflict to the created nature in the image of God. As a sinner, he lives in condemnation and receives the condemnation of God against. On the other hand, those who accept and believe in the cross receive justification through Jesus Christ. The opportunity begins a new life in God. They are born anew of the Spirit and live free from condemnation. You'll see that over in Romans 8 and 1. No guilt exists for those who are justified by God through Jesus Christ. God's justice and mercy work together to provide an escape from slavery of sin. Now, the newborn child of God have not reached spiritual maturity, yet he is counted perfect by God and is accepted by him as blameless. This is also true as a child of God who have served God for many decades. Their service have not made them righteous. At the same time, he is not immune from sin and may fall or commit a sin. In himself, he is not righteous, for his righteousness can only come from his faith in the righteousness of Jesus that secured for us on the cross. In fact, he loved us while we were still living in sin, and he continues to love us now that we have been justified by his blood. Romans, you'll see that Romans 5 and 9. Let's look further without remembrance. Since God has chosen to count us justified by faith, he also chosen not to count our sins. See Psalms 32, verses 1 and 2. Because of the works of Christ on our behalf, he refuses to remember our past transgressions. We cannot be without condemnation and bound by past sins at the same time. God thus count us so Christ as just rather than just God thus counts us through Christ as just rather than just unrighteous or unjust. This justification does not give us a license to sin, but a freedom from guilt of past sins and freedom from the power of sin. If we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, we have no condemnation. Now, God chose Moses, who committed murder, to give him the commandments and to commune with him. We who once were enemies of God have been chosen to be ambassadors for him. This is possible because he does not count our transgressions to our account. Instead, he has chosen to give us the word of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 through 20. When we further look at justification by faith, we find that accounting righteousness to the believer satisfies both God's justice and the need of the sinners for justification. God always has a desire to be in relationship with his people, a seemingly impossible activity due to God's demand for sin payment and his own holiness. But Jesus provided the covering for mankind's sin. God has not dealt with humanity according to the demand of death and punishment, but according to grace, mercy, and justice. In the cross and by our faith, God's justice and our justification are fulfilled by the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace is the basis of justification, while obedient faith is the means by which we are justified. Faith in his name. God is the justifier of those who place faith in Jesus Christ. A person experiences justification when they places his faith or her faith in Jesus Christ, that the object of faith. Faith alone, however, is not justification. Rather, it is faith in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Only trust in God's provision through the cross is the door of justification, for only the cross answers the problem of human sinfulness. Faith in Jesus Christ involves the heart. It involves one's mind. It also involves one's will. Peter explained to the priest that salvation comes from no other source or name than Jesus Christ. Faith in any other name, object, idea, or philosophy is idolatry. Let us look further, that faith in his word. The psalmist proclaimed that God's word is forever settled in heaven, Psalms 119, verse 89. God's word can be seen in the writing of the Old Testament, Jesus' own writing and the writing of the apostles. The law in the Old Testament was the schoolmaster's to bring us to Jesus Christ. You'll read that over in Galatians 3 and verse 24. The first five books of the Bible, called the Pentateuch, trace the human story from creation through the fall in Eden, the flood, Adam, and the people of Israel, with the revelation of the commandments and the promises given on Mount Sinai. Now, the law revealed God's holiness as a guide to a greater revelation in which his law would be written in the hearts of man by the Holy Spirit. Now, the latter historical book accented both God's promises and the human failure to enjoy them. However, there was a moment when a leader found hope, comfort, and joy in living for God. The prophet scored Israel for its failure to proclaim hope for them and their children in returning to God. In his ministry on earth, Jesus spoke with power and authority. God chose to enter human history and through his son, Jesus, to speak to all people. And you'll find that over in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. God's word is a gift to humanity, supplying strength in times of weakness, wisdom of time of confusion, hope in moments of despair, and triumph in the face of defeat, and faith in the time of challenge. The word of God occupies a place in each child of God's life, for it brings us faith in God and also guidance in our living. Let's look further at the faith in the Calvary finished work. All hopes are found in Jesus' death on the cross at Calvary and in his resurrection from the tomb in Jerusalem. Faith connects these events to our salvation experience on earth and links our hope to the new Jerusalem. Nothing less than the death of the Son of God could accomplish the transformation of a sinner into a saint. The cross ministry hope to every person entrapped in a sinful lifestyle, for all can believe and be delivered from sin and its consequences. You'll see that over in Galatians 2 and 20. The cross was a painful and glorious event. Before his agonizing death on the cross, Jesus prayed earnestly that the cup of this suffering be passed from him, but he submitted to God's plan for our sake. On the cross, he felt our estrangement from God to such an extent that he quoted over in Psalms 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Finally, he stated that it was finished. Death came. His battle was over. Victory had been won. The gap between God and humankind had been eliminated by the cross. The cross is both painful and glorious for us as well. To be united with God, we must be willing to die to self and sin, to suffer our own carnal way in favor of the new life secured in Jesus for us by the cross. Our new birth emerged from our death when Christ and resurrection in Christ as well. Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. His gift of himself means that by faith we can live in him as well as live for him. Further, as a result of justification, faith in Christ and his work bring genuine justification. God's righteousness reigns in us. His justification leads to transformation. The faith responds to God's offered gift, changes our position with God, and brings radical change in our hearts and lives. Let's look at also dead to sin. The message of Romans chapter number 6, verses 1 and 2 is that we cannot be counted just by God and live in sin at the same time. Just as the body cannot be dead and alive, the justified individual will not live a sinful life. The born-again person obeyed Christ from their hearts, Romans 6 and 17. We must, however, realize that being dead to sin does not mean a Christian or a child of God cannot sin. He is not immune from temptation or nor made incapable of sinning, but a child of God does not have to sin, for the Spirit of God enables them to resist the temptation of sin that arise from his base nature that continue in his being, although under subjection to his new life in Jesus Christ. That's critical for us to recognize. Now, we are to delight in God's law in the inward man and to resist the temptation of sin that threatened to regain the upper hand in our flesh. Galatians 5, verses 16 to 25 will let you know some of the works of the flesh. We are to stay dead to sin by staying away from fleshly lust, 1 Peter 2 and 11. Making no provision for the flesh, Romans 13, 14. Counting ourselves to be dead to sin, Romans 6 and 11. And walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5 and 16. Paul stated his need to keep his body in subjection lest he become a castaway, 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. While we are dead to sin, we still live in a fallen world. Our recreation will not be complete until we see him as he is, 1 John 3 and 2. Not only were we saved by grace, but we are kept by grace. Let's look at the other results of justification. We are alive to Christ. Our resurrection to the new life in Christ is no less miraculous than his own resurrection. You'll see that over in Romans 6 and 4. We who were once God's enemy are reconciled to him. We can experience the joy of his new relationship, of this new relationship, Romans 5, verses 10 through 11. Our new life is to be productive for the one who justified us. With our new birth, we are able to walk in the Spirit and have the mind of Christ. Now that we are alive to God, there is no limit to the amount of his fruit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit include love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, Galatians 5, verses number 22. Let's see another result of justification. We become servants of righteousness. Jesus taught his disciples that they could not serve two masters in the same time. Prior to justification, we were servants of sin. Sin ruled in our lives. Our thoughts, our action, our desires were in rebellion against God and his righteousness. But all of our sinful bondage is past for the believer, For Paul wrote, ye were servants of sin. The way we were released from our bondage was by obeying the doctrine delivered by Jesus Christ and his apostle, Romans 6, verses 16 through 17. When God justifies a person, he also freed that individual from sin, and he becomes a servant of righteousness. Romans 6, verses 19 to 22 presents a clear picture of our transformation. In place of our service to uncleanliness, we are now to serve righteousness. As servants of righteousness, we will produce the fruit of holiness rather than sin. Romans 6 and verse 23 informs us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Another result of our justification is peace with God. Jesus Christ came to heal the breach between mankind and God. Reconciliation was offered through Calvary. For whosoever will choose to accept it through faith in Jesus Christ, by whose death the enmity has been destroyed and the door of peace with God was opened, Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. God made us in his image and in his likeness of his nature. But sin intruded by man's failure and destroyed man's glorious relationship with God. This relationship could only be destroyed or restored, by conforming to God's justice. The penalty of sin must be paid. That justice was satisfied by his death of Jesus Christ on the cross as our substitute. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Being justified in Christ restores our fellowship with God. The gift of the Holy Ghost enables us to cry, Abba, Father, Galatians 4 and 6. We are able to commune with him through prayer, the word, and worship. We have the opportunity to boldly enter his throne room with our requests. The cross destroys the enmity with God. When we look at justification, it is not just the end of the story. It is the beginning towards a new life in Christ through the cross. God counts us as righteous, and being made righteous, we can enter in a new walk with him. Justification does not mean that we become perfect in ourselves, but that God has taken away our sins and the condemnation that comes from our sins. In his sight, we are just, sanctified, and alive in him. We are his children, whom he loves and will not forsake. Now, if we sin, we need only to repent and find forgiveness and renewal. Justification leads a person to sanctification and a new life in God. Those who, through obedient faith, accept the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ have died with Christ. They need not try to earn salvation, for it is a gift from God through Christ. It is not our good deeds, our prayers, or our witnesses that purchase our justification. For only the blood of Jesus Christ can sanctify us in the sight of God. The sinner really have nothing to offer God in exchange for salvation. He need only to come to God in obedient faith, repenting of his sins, submitting to the water baptism in the name of Jesus, and receiving from him the gift of the Holy Ghost. We are not justified merely having faith, for only by faith in Jesus Christ can we receive justification of our sinful life. All aspects of salvation result from Christ's work on the cross, not just from our own work. His work is finished, opening the way for us to be freely justified, sanctified, and live a new life in him. Jesus was both the sacrifice as well as the high priest at the cross. His sacrifice was completed and acceptable for our sins, and now he sits at the right hand of God with all power and all authority to save all who will come to him. He is our Lord and the giver of peace, joy, and eternal life. Thank God for his justification that brought forth death to sin and being alive to God and made peace with God, as well as brought forth our ability to become servants of righteousness and not servants of sin. And we thank God for the mighty, wonderful work that he did on the cross of Calvary to allow us to be able to be justified of the sin that would have the penalty of death. For again, Romans said, chapter number 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by their faith. God bless you, child of God. I pray that this lesson was a blessing unto you on today, as you learn a little bit more about your justification and all of the work that was done on the cross of Calvary, the redemptive work of the atoning death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that Lamb that was worthy of all praise, glory, and honor, that had paid the ultimate ransom and price that we may be able to partake of the new life through his justification and his redemptive work on the cross of Calvary. Recognize, child of God, if you believe our Lord and Savior within and through your faith and the work that he's done on the cross of Calvary and the plan of salvation that he has provided, you too can also experience living that new life in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and being justified and made right because of his justification and his blood being shed on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Don't ever pass up the opportunity for receiving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Take time to talk to him and repent of your sin as never before now, to draw nigh unto him as never before. I pray that you have been blessed by this lesson on today. I pray that your understanding of the just being justified by faith, it has brought a greater enlightenment unto you, and that you would forever value the work of the cross of Calvary and justification and receiving it through faith. And in my closing, I pray that the blessings of the Lord will always continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. I want to end this session on prayer because it's such a sacred session as we're talking about justification and our salvation. Gracious Father, we thank you for the work that was done on Calvary. We don't lightly esteem it, Father. We thank you, dear God, for every work that you have done, the atoning work on Calvary, Lord, the cross, Father, the victory that you attained. Father, we ask, oh God, that you bless every one of the listeners and the hearers and meet every one of their needs. Let not a need go lacking. God, we thank you because you are a righteous Savior. And Father, we thank you for all that you've done. Father, continue to draw us closer to you and let us draw nigh unto you as never before. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name. We bind the forces of darkness. We bind the wicked one, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we declare and decree your sovereign and your holy will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, child of God, I'm so glad that you was with me on today. Again, it just makes my heart very happy to see you following and being consistent and coming and listening to these wonderful lessons. I want to encourage you to encourage someone to come and to call in and to listen into the live recordings and the live sessions, or be able to go back and archive some of the and listen to some of the lessons that have been archived. We have been doing this since 2007, and so there's plenty of great word and great prayers that have been gone forth through these various lessons as well as interviews. I want you to indulge yourself and be blessed by some of the wonderful things. And if you can, stop by our website at drhelenorm.com. And look at our website there, or go to ShekinahGlory.com and ShekinahGloryTabernacle.com as well and look at, or follow me on Facebook. Helen Orm is my name and my page name, and you can find me there, and I'll be more than glad to friend you. And think just, I'll be sure you put in my message box you have one of my followers. And I know God's going to tremendously bless you. Again, thank you for being so faithful, and I know that your soul is being rich and enriched by the wonderful, wonderful word of God. And so when I get ready to close on today, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it. And all you have to do is just ask, because you're just one question away from your miracle. As the scripture said over in Matthew 7:7, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. I pray, in closing, that a no sorrow blessing will come and abide in your house. May God bless you until we meet again. Call someone. Encourage them to tune in on next Tuesday. God bless you is our prayer. Bye-bye.